that. Other questions for Matt? Kathy?
Matt, I just had a question about the community support programs. Are there waiting lists in those programs?
I don't believe there's a wait list in the program. It's more a function of the number of services each individual is getting per month. Prior to the pandemic, that number was higher, and now it's lower, and we'd really like to see it restored to previous pandemic numbers, but I'm sure Administrator Laffin can speak to that more than I can.
Right, thank you.
Well, I would say that technically having a CSP wait list would not be allowable under the Medicaid rules, so we're experiencing some deferred admissions where it takes a little while to make the connection for a new referral. Sort of our in-house vernacular is, yes, we'll add the person to the wait list. A recent case where that was the statement from our team found us admitting that individual to a CSP within about a week. So there's certainly, with that service, a lack of immediacy, particular to our operated ACT AOT team. ACT Fidelity standards say you can only admit one individual per week per program. So if that service is the particular service, we need to then have that. You know, you get three referrals in a week, we can't admit all three and still maintain high fidelity. We are hopeful that as the hiring challenges start to subside here, and we're seeing some traction there, we'll see more capacity throughout the network.
Thank you.
Okay. And Matt, this was earlier on in the presentation. I don't remember what you said when it came to the car surplus and saying that there's a surplus there, which is a little concerning. The network was closed up as far as like bridge housing and other services for cars. The network didn't open in 2024, but it's a surplus. So I don't remember what you stated.
Yeah, thank you, Ken. So there were mostly on the mental health side is where we experienced that surplus, primarily in CCS, but with some of our kind of cost reimbursed based agreements in our crisis intervention network. That's where the surplus was, and some of that was anticipated, some of that was a little unexpected at the end of the year when we didn't see some of the cost reports from the providers that we were anticipating seeing. On the AODA side, which is where bridge housing is where we had that $800,000 tax levy deficit.
Thank you.
Matt, I have a question on the inpatient days. We saw the variance with respect to Granite Hills and the variance on the state institution. Do you have any opinion or feeling as to a gap, a negative gap with Granite Hills and a positive but it still doesn't get us to what was budgeted for Granite Hills. Do you believe that those inpatient days were still there in the community and just picked up by private providers?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, we're used to seeing, I guess, more a complete picture of the inpatient psychiatric universe when we operated our own facility. We took on a lot of clients that weren't necessarily Milwaukee County's statutory responsibility. They might be voluntary, they might be commercially insured. We're now just not seeing those clients because they're receiving care from somewhere, whether they go to Aurora or wherever they go, they just don't even come up on our radar because Aurora isn't involving us in their care because we're no longer a payer. So to answer your question, yes. And part of it is just that this was our first year, 2023, without an operated hospital, and we had some pretty good guesses about what to expect in terms of patient volume, and that's where we put the budget. And so part of it is the kind of mismatch between Granite Hills and state institutes, but part of it is just that other individuals are receiving service and it's not even coming across our desk.
Is there a way, I know it would have to be sort of voluntary reporting, but is there a way for us to try to accumulate that data so that we know Bucky County as a whole, what is happening with inpatient services?
A great question, and I might defer to Administrator Lappin on that. I know there's been discussion with or Dr. Schneider, Impact Connect and Wishin and other tools that give us a better idea of what's going on.
There is some reporting with the bed locator that we probably could work with the Wisconsin Hospital Association to look at, based on the hospital locator data. It used to come out with some regularity from the healthcare. I haven't, I think, seen published regular data, but you would see sort of a percentage of beds occupied. I can tell you just from our own internal reporting, looking at these in the system, everybody's running pretty close to probably 80%+ occupancy most of the time, with the exception of the kids, which always everybody knows. I think there's a good way to nail that down. That help?
Yes, thank you. Mary, you're mute.
I have a question. Before we signed this contract with Trempealeau County, did we have any people going to Trempealeau County prior to the signed contract?
Well, we wouldn't. The contract was likely tied to a particular referral, so since we can't pay bills unless we have a contract, probably not. I don't know. Yeah, we have certainly used Trempealeau a couple of times since I've been here. Typically as an alternative to the state hospital or a transition from the state hospital. Not a real frequent utilization because of the distance away.
So do we have, I'd like to make sure that we keep data on Trempealeau County as far as how many people we have going there and like to stay.
I'm sure we can produce that data, Mary.
Okay, yes, that's something that can be provided in quality committee. I'm happy to add it to this report, but financially it's very minor.
It just needs to be somewhere, so call, we'd be fine.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Matt, with respect to the dashboard? Okay, let's then move on to item five. Matt,